All right, so here we are, the last Sunday before Thanksgiving, or before December, that is. Last Sunday in November, as we come to the closing of this year that the Lord has given us. And I trust everyone had a good Thanksgiving with their family and otherwise the body of Christ, and being with one another, giving thanks to God for all that he's done and continues to do and yet has in store for us, that we know nothing about, but that because we know his character, we know his person, we know that the Lord is good, and he has good plan for us, a hope and a future. So what I want to do is, I also want to recognize that Nova, some members of Nova Worship Center is with us. Sharon and Zita served on the worship team, and a family back here. Is it Leon? Okay, got it. All right. Well, remember. Okay, so, and his wife, and we bless them, and here comes Bill. And so we're glad to be able to share with you, amen, the body of Christ. I want to, been in a series in the book of Colossians, walking through the whole book of Colossians. And so today I want to deal with one verse, because last week we met at 10:30, and I had all afternoon to preach. And I could get it done. But today, when that Uganda anointing comes on me, and it's 2:45, I've got more time than I typically have. But I still want to look at one verse in Colossians chapter 3, and that is verse 17. And let me say that. You know, when we come to the scriptures, and as I always say, when God gives us a command, when Paul through the Spirit commands us to do something, it is because God has already done something beforehand, right? And so we can't work unless he works first. Jesus said, my Father works and I work, John chapter 6. In that order, my Father works and I work. And Jesus said the Father is, he's greater than I. He put the Father before him. And so as we come to the scriptures, it simply says this, and whatever you do, Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I love these all-inclusive scriptures. You know, when I say an all-inclusive scripture, it leaves nothing. I mean, it's very simplified. It's very clarified. You can't get it wrong. God, I mean, I love how God's, because he makes it all, makes it so simple and so real, like 1 Thessalonians 5:18, when it says, in everything give thanks. I love that everything, which it leaves nothing out. We know that in every circumstance, in every situation, he says, give thanks. Give thanks. I love those scriptures. David said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually. What does that mean? What does continual mean? Nonstop. It means it doesn't. I love those scriptures because God, the word of God makes it very clear what his position is concerning what our position is to be, right? Psalm 62 verse 8 says, trust in him at all times. Trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before God. I love that. So the scripture says it in many ways over and over again. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love who, Lord? Love one another as I have loved you. And so the scriptures, which is a sacrificial love. And so as we've been studying this, Paul, if I were to back up a few verses, Paul said to us that we were to put on tender mercies, verse 12, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But then in verse 14, he wraps all that up in one neat little package, and he says this, but above all things, put on love. Put on love. Because if you put on love, you will exhibit tender mercies, kindness, because love is patient and it's kind. Come on. You'll put on humility, meekness, long-suffering. You'll forgive one another. We'll bear with one another. All these things. And so I love the scriptures. The scriptures mean God makes it very clear what he's trying to say. And this is why no one will be able to say, well, I didn't know. God didn't tell me. I never heard. Oh, no. He's very clear. He's a very clear communicator. And so you get it. And the older I get, the more simple I want things to be. I mean, if you're not finding that out, just hang on. Just hang on. It's coming. Okay? So our study today is about as simple as it gets in serving the Lord with this and other passages of Scripture that we could look at. But he says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, here is, again, one of those scriptures where if you don't know what your life purpose is, and there's a lot of talk about purpose, you know, what am I supposed to do? And sometimes people think it has to do with a job. Well, there's many jobs you can do. God suits us to do a fair number of jobs that we could give ourselves to. We're good at, right? But Paul says, and this could clear up some things for any or all of us when it comes to, you know, on the day-to-day, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? Because there's a scripture, a sister scripture to this. I was going to mention at the end, but I'll mention it now, then I'll mention it at the end again. And it's 1 Corinthians 10:31. Paul said there, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Divorcing my wife does not bring glory to God. Me holding a grudge or being bitter at you is not giving glory to God. Hello. Pastors, priests, molesting children. Come on, church. Just look at the church. Man, when I read the Bible and I'm reading what he's saying and I'm looking at the church, I'm going, Jesus, hello, help us. What are we doing? Now, you know, I always say there's two parts. God's going to always do his part. How many of you understand that? But then there's our part. And while he's doing his part, we're going to be crying out to him to give me strength to do my part so I don't mess this thing up. Mess what up? Your glory. Your glory. Your glory. Jesus on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane, he's taking Peter, James, and John. He says, now stay awake and pray. He's trying to help them. He's trying to help. Come and watch with me. Watch and pray. What did they do? They went to sleep. What did he do? He went and he prayed. He endured the hour of temptation. But they didn't do their part, which means they fell. I want to do my part. Lord, help me to do my part. What's my part? It's becoming clearer and clearer every day that I exist, you and I exist for the glory of God. Lord, I wish I knew it 35, 40 years ago the way I know it now. Oh my goodness, I wish I knew it. Because I had no clue. Just no clue. Proverbs 3 and 6 says, in all your ways, it's another one of those all-inclusive scriptures, in all your ways acknowledge him. How many? But can I skip? Can I skip tomorrow? No. In all your ways, that coincides with whatever you do, in all your ways acknowledge him. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily. Paul was speaking to bondservants. We would call them, well, we'll just say employees for the day, workers, servants, a little bit more than that. But he said, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. When we go to work, do we feel ourselves working more for that boss or trying to impress that boss or that supervisor and not the Lord? How we respond is the source of that the Lord, or is it we want to get brownie points with the boss? He says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Then he says this, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward. Because God sees everything that we do and he rewards so that we don't have to try and please men. And so whatever you do, do it heartily. Imagine that being the source, the foundation from which we speak and from which we act. Because I know people, even in circumstances right now, who are being treated in a very, very wrong way. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, speaking of Jesus, down in verse 23, says, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And Peter was telling those believers that you have been appointed to suffer for Christ. Just as he suffered, you will suffer. And so as he suffered, we pray, God, help us to respond the way he responded. As he responded in revile again, Lord, help us to be the same way. So whatever you do, in word or deed. This covers all of life. I mean, it just stretches. It's like a blanket from the beginning to the end of our lives as believers in Christ. This scripture stretches over it all. So he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so as I'm studying this, I thought, well, let me look up what in the name of means. And of course we know what it means, but a couple dictionary definitions said this: bearing or using the name of a specific person or organization, bearing or using the name of a specified person or organization. So when we do what we do, that's why now, if you have a WGTS bumper sticker on the back of your car, cool, fine. If you have a Jesus bumper sticker on the back of your car, that's good. I don't. And the reason is, Jesus is the only person I know who is always acting according to his character. Christians don't. Consequently, I've been driving down the road. Someone with a WGTS sticker zoom cross cut me off. I almost wrecked. I'm sitting up here. What's this? And what's with the bumper sticker? Hello. Come on. If you're going to have the bumper sticker, if you're going to be putting out there, you're a Christian, the little fish and all of this. If you're going to put that on there, then that means every moment you have to be representing that emblem that you put on the car. Hello. Now, the reason why I don't have it on mine is because I know I'm not perfect. I'm just not there. And so I won't put it on. I said, Lord, help me never to see, because the moment I'll be driving good and everything, moment I put that sticker on my car, somebody's going to come cut me off and I'm going to go off and, you know, be like, you know. So I said, no, I can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't do it. But Jesus is always perfect. He's sinless. He's pure. And we aren't. Right? So 2 Timothy 2:19, Paul said this to Timothy, the Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So that means is if we call ourselves Christians and then we look across the world, we look at the news and we look at all that's happening, and we see people who name the name of Christ, yet they're mired in embezzlement. And you name every other type of sin of the flesh. It's there. And attached to it is Christ's name and his glory. And people are saying, well, see, I don't want to have anything to do with that because look at how those people live. You see? And yet God has created us for his glory. Now, so he's done that, but then it is then our job to realize and to live accordingly. as he reveals himself to us, the preciousness of his love, the depth of his kindness toward us, that makes us then say, I must live for him. Lord, please don't let me bring reproach to your name. Why? Because Ephesians says that he ordained from before the foundation of the world that we would be blameless and without reproach before him in love. That's what he's done for me. That's what he's done for you. Well, if he's ordained it, that I should stand before him blameless and without reproach, then I should want to live in this life blameless, out without reproach, to give glory to his name and not bring reproach to his name. This is what Paul means when he says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another meaning is for the sake of. In the name of could also mean for the sake of. Philippians 1:29 reads, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. I haven't done an extended teaching on suffering, but it's in the works. It'll come. It'll come. We don't like that. We want the blessing. Give me that blessing message. Give me that prosperity message. No. Give me that Bible message. Give me that biblical message. Because that's you know, we worship God who has given us this word. And as we have been appointed to believe, we have also then it's listen, I love Paul's wording. It has been granted. How many of you want to receive a grant from the government? We all love a grant from. Okay, well, here's a grant from heaven. Okay, it has been granted on behalf of Christ that you not only believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. It's a privilege to suffer for his sake. We don't see it that way. But keep walking with God. The time you come to the end, you'll be like Paul, who said, my life is about to be poured out as a drink offering. He says, and I'm fine with it. He says, I'm ready to meet him. He knew that his life was not his own. He was ready to lay it down and give it up. He was ready to suffer for his sake. He told those who were prophesying over him in Acts, in the book of Acts, he said, what mean you to break my heart and weeping? He says, I'm not only ready to suffer for Christ. He said, I'm ready to die for him. That's what happens when you keep walking with God. The more we walk with Christ, the more we understand this. My life is not my own. He gave it to me. It's a gift that he's given to me. And whenever he calls me to give it back to him, I release it. I release it. And I give it to you, Lord. So for the sake of means for the purpose of, in the interest of, in order to achieve or preserve. Out of consideration for, in order to help someone, not that we could ever help God. Then a third meaning of in the name of is one we understand very much so would be by the authority of. By the authority of. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4, when Paul was telling the church how to deal with this man who had some sexual sin in his life and wouldn't repent of it. He said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And so when he said in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, he was using the authority that God had given him in Christ to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. We understand this very well. Also in Mark 16, Jesus said, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. So we understand and we like this authority, you know. We like this. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not by no means hurt them. Lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so it's important that we say and do what we say and do is done in the name of Jesus, so that his name might be exalted and glorified. Let me say that again. It is important that what we say and do is done in the name of the Lord Jesus so that his name will be exalted and glorified in the earth. Now, I'm telling you, saints, when I first got saved, I loved Jesus. I was filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, prophesied, did all this, cast out demons. We did all of that. But a central core of who we were was not this. Hello. It just wasn't that. Listen, when all that we say and think is to bring glory and doing the name of Jesus, it's going to radically change your life. It determines where you go, what you see. Hello? It determines what comes out of your mouth. And so Paul, now we have to remember the Colossians whom Paul was speaking, they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have all of Paul's writings and Peter and James and John and all these guys. And so when Paul writes this letter to them, they have the word of God. They don't even, maybe not even know it as such. They just received it. So, well, Paul the apostle wrote a letter. Okay, here it is. Let's read it. But here they have the actual living word of God. And so for them, when they come upon this passage of scripture, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's going to mean something to them as they have this, perhaps maybe this only letter written. They would have had the Old Testament, but Paul would have written this letter and brought it to them, and how precious it would have been in my mind to them. So it's God's intention that what we say and do glorifies who he is. What we say and do glorifies who he is. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And so now as we pray, you know, when we pray, then the thoughts have to come to us that, you know, prayer, by the way, is all about the will of God. Prayer is not chiefly about my will. And so when I come to pray, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, when I come to pray, the chief reason for me praying is not to get my will done. It's to get his will done. And so Jesus said, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We exist for his glory. That is why every day he gives us life and breath, health and all things, and we get up and we go about our way for his glory. It's in my notes. It's exactly, brother. Thank you. Not only is it in my notes, it's right here, right now. So they were reading this morning. Why am I not surprised? Because how many times does God do this? Out of all of this big book, they could have been reading anywhere in the book. Where were they reading? Isaiah 43:7. So let me confirm the new with the old. Isaiah 43:7 says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. Now listen, church. It's not enough for me just to preach this. This is something that you have to go and sit down and think about. You know, it has to be chewed on. It has to be really? Yeah. That's why I'm here? Yeah. So when Emmanuel was wrestling and we were going to his contest and he out there, you know, throwing people over and all of this, All of that was for his glory. Yes. Yes. All of this. So we get up every day and go to work, and the way I respond to my wife, and when I respond to my children, and on, all of it, God created us for his glory. Amen? And so in all that we say or do, let's aim then for the glory of God. In other words, God has worked. He created us for his glory. Then our part is then to aim for it. Live for his glory. That's what he created us for. So if he created us for that, there's life in the agreement with the will of God. Anytime you do the will of God, there's life there. So if he created us for his glory, my thought when I wake up in the morning and I realize he's given me another day, and I begin to give him thanks and praise, and in my prayer time, as I'm going to go clean carpet and meet with custom lawless, my prayer is, Father, help me to bring you glory in every relationship I'm going to establish today, because I already know you're standing right there. You are already standing in the midst of my future. And I want to do your will when I get to where you are. So help me. Help me to glorify you. And then when I get home at the end of the day, to keep glorifying you, my relationship with my wife, with my children. On and on and on. But listen. Whenever you go and look at a piece of art, a work of art, a beautiful work of art, or you see a magnificent structure, after you consider it all, you know, it's nice to look at it and everything, but what inevitably comes out of your mouth is, who did this? Who? It always comes back to the person. It always comes back to who. And so when our lives bring God glory, it causes people to come to this. What? Who did this? Like they did with Kweku. He's here today. See, he wasn't here last week when I mentioned him. When the people on his job came to him and said, what is it about you? They're inquiring because they see joy constantly in his life. And they don't know what to make of it. They're trying to figure out what's going on. What's causing this? And then he gets to tell them the who. It's not what, it's who. It's a person, right? And so that's a good example of one glorifying God, as we're, God gives us opportunity to live for his glory. So in all that we say, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord. What does that mean? It means to pay our taxes. Amen. I ain't looking at nobody. Don't be coming up to me, Pastor. You talking about my, I ain't talking about, I don't know nothing. Run our business with integrity. Charge the right price. Be honest. Tell the truth. Come on. So that's what it means. Hello. I went to a woman's house this last week who she had used another franchise, and she was very displeased. Matter of fact, the last time she used them, when he got out his truck and she saw who it was, she said, get in your truck and leave. Don't come back here. That's what she told him. And when she said that, I told her the name of the company and the guy's name. I said, I know who it is. She said, you're right. And so as I'm preparing down to clean it, she told me, you know, I'm not looking for this carpet's real old. I'm not looking for a knockdown, you know, just this. I'm not looking for this awesome job. I just want to get through Christmas. Just make it a little bit better. And so after I cleaned the carpet, this woman, I walked up the stairs and she grabbed me, hugged me, tightened up. I said, whoa, wait a second now. She said, I didn't expect it to look like this. And she went in her, she paid me, and she went in her purse and started doing a 20 drop. Whop, whop, whop. I'm like, wait a second now. And She says, I'm going to scan your receipt because I'm calling you back. Oh, you hearing from me again? She says, I'm telling all my neighbors. She said, and when I got out of the house, got in my truck, and I said, thank you, Father, because you don't have to mention God's name to give him glory. Hello? I said, you don't have to mention his name to give him glory. All you have to do is to do what he created you to do. Be what he created you to be. The glory will come. People will see and people will respond. Hello? I'm telling you. And so every day that God has given us the ability, the wherewithal to get up and go put our hands to something, put our mind to something, put our words to something, we're to go do it and do it to the best of our ability that people might marvel. What is this? Huh? Why? I mean, you know, why is this such a big deal? Well, in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 4, Scripture says this. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. You see, when man fell, man began to make a name for himself. But the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, right? And had not man sinned, do you know who all of us would be talking about a great deal of time? We'd be talking about our Creator. Can you imagine? Adam would be there. Hey, Adam, tell us about when he created you. Well, I opened up my eyes and there he was, you know. And he brought Eve to me. I mean, we'd be talking about his glory, right? But no, they're talking about making a name for themselves instead of talking about the name of our great God. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. And so from the fall of man, man has sought to make a name for himself. Instead of what Paul says here, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were busy trying to make a name for themselves. So much so I thought, let me Google the phrase. Make a name for yourself. And I Googled it, the list popped up. 22 ways, 7 ways, this way, on, and because the world. Oh, that's what it's all about. The world gonna get theirs. They're gonna, and so this one was off monster.com and it said address people. Seven steps to making a name for yourself. Address people. Seeking out speaking engagement builds your professional brand by getting your message out to large groups. Now, there's nothing wrong with, if in the worldly sense, to make a name for yourself. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that the Bible has. Well, let me tell you about one man named David, whom God said. He says, David, I'm gonna make your name great. He says, I'm going to make your name great, like the great men of the earth. And so if you ask me, which would you rather have? Would you rather make a name for yourself, or would you rather have God make your name great? I don't even have to respond. But Proverbs 22 and 1 says, a good name is better than great riches. Loving favor more so than silver and gold. A good name. And so God said to David, I'm going to make you a great name. He said, I'm going to build your house. Well, anyhow, let me get back to this. It said, so address, they have their 7 steps. Address people, tap your inner scribe. In other words, blog, write something that people can follow, right? Third one, aim for likes and shares. Those of us who are on social media, 25 years ago, you said aim for likes and shares. People would be looking at you cross-eyed. What on earth are you talking about? But aim for likes and shares. Tell your story behind your brand. Stay on top of trends. I would definitely be lost with the trend stuff. It just don't. Serve your community. Now, that's a good thing. It's just that the motivation is a little off. If you're serving to get your name great, then you're not really serving. Hello? You're self-serving, right? And the last one was to embrace your quirks. Genesis 4:17 says, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son. He built a city and called the city after the name of his son. And so men were into building a name for themselves. I like Hebrews 3:4. It says, every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. He who built all things is God. And so if we're going to praise someone for building a house, then we ought to praise him who built all things. Right? We'll praise someone for making a name for themselves. The world does it all the time. You know? And we'll but we won't praise the one who made all things. Right? In 2 Samuel chapter 7, this is the Lord, you remember when David wanted to make a house, he wanted to build a house of the Lord, and Nathan told him, he said, go ahead, do all that's in your heart. Then the Lord said, no, tell him no. And so the Lord said in 2 Samuel 7, 10 and 11, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also, the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set your seed over you. I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And then Solomon in 1 Kings 8, in 18, it reads concerning him, but the Lord said to my father David, whereas it was in your heart to build the temple for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the temple, but your son, who will come from your body, he shall build the temple for my name. So the Lord has fulfilled his word, which he spoke. And I have filled the position of my father and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised. And I have built a temple for the name of the Lord God of Israel. Solomon built a temple for the name of the Lord to give God glory. Okay? And he did it because God prophesied that he would do it. But how many of you recognize, we recognize this, that in this word there was a double prophetic fulfillment. Okay, Solomon was the son of David, and he did build a house, but that house God destroyed because the children of Israel wouldn't obey him. The fullness of that prophetic fulfillment was in the son of David, Jesus the Christ, who would build the house, a temple not made with hands, whose house you are. And so as in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 5, when they built the house and the temple was full of the glory of God, so then in Acts chapter 2, when Christ built the house, the glory of God came from heaven and sat upon them and filled the whole house. And so now, God is getting glory from a temple not made with hands, and that's you and I. See? So, you know, and I thank God for churches are being built all around this area, which I give praise. I'm like, go, church. At churches up and down Braddock Road, people adding on the Coptic Church, Expectation Church on the opposite side, FCC down the road. There's churches being built and all kinds of things going on. It's wonderful to see. But God does not dwell in temples made with hands. For all of our buildings is this temple that can tear it down. And so God is seeking to glorify himself not in the mortar and brick. He's seeking to glorify himself in the temple not made with hands. That's you, beloved. It's me. And so every day we rise. Every day we rise. He's seeking to glorify himself in us. Now that's what he's doing. What are we doing? What are we doing? My heart, my prayer is that we would live lives that would glorify our Father who is in heaven. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for divine truth. We thank you, O God, that you have not hid your purpose from us, but you've revealed it. You've made it very clear. And Lord, you've made it such that we can understand it and grasp it. And you filled us with your Holy Spirit and enabled us to even accomplish that which you have decreed. Father, I pray, O God, above all things, that our desire and our focus would be set on Christ and his glory. I pray, O God, that every day we wake and all throughout the day, Lord, that our hearts, O God, Lord, would be set on your will and your purpose and glorifying our Father who is in heaven through his Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the indwelling Spirit, O God, who keeps us and fills us and enables us to live for your glory. I pray, O God, that you would bring us revelation and understanding and that it would be the passion of our lives to live for the glory of God. And I ask it in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you.